Translation. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Even the greatest philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. It is said in the Upanishads that the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is beyond the range of the thinking power of the greatest philosopher. He is unknowable by great learning or by the greatest brain. He is knowable only by one who has His mercy. Others may go on thinking about Him for years together, yet He is unknowable. This very fact is corroborated by the Queen, who is playing the part of an innocent woman. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers, but they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord, and thus they offer obeisances without reservation. The Lord is so kind that He does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. For this reason only, women generally assemble in great number in any sort of religious function. In every country and in every sect of religion, it appears that the women are more interested than the men. This simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. Translation again. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? Om Ajana Tamrandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Umilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayalupa Gadamayam Dadati Swabadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We could say that Srila Prabhupada's purport is incorrect, and we could say that it's incorrect because, unless my eyes are deceiving me, and they may very well be deceiving me with glasses and what was it called? Macular degeneration. There are more men in this room than women. But we could also see that, not as Srila Prabhupada's purport being incorrect, but we could see that as the extraordinary, incredible impact, mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his ISKCON, that it even traditionally. And we know this. Actually, we know this. We know this very, very well. You know, I was at a funeral not so long ago in a Catholic church. It was a relative that had died. And I made that observation. I'd say it was upwards of 75% of the people in the church were actually women, you know, upwards of 75%. So I think the statement is absolutely correct. But it is interesting to see that ISKCON is so powerful, and the message that Prabhupada came to give us, and not just the message that he came to give us, but the way he gave that message, bucks this trend, and you actually have, in this case, more men in the room at this religious function than you have women. So it's kind of very interesting. And they're all women, right? Okay. Thank you very much for that clarification. Huh? household duties, or, you know, just keeping warm at home, not wanting to get cold coming to the temple. Anyway, whatever it may be. But it is just interesting because that statement is made very powerfully here, and it is something I think that we generally do see. But it's just really inspiring to see that the message that Prabhupada came to give has really also attracted the men like that. But this whole purport, and yesterday we were discussing another issue, which actually anyway, it was related, it was kind of related to Vaishnavis. and it's such a glorious benefit to be able to have that immediate conviction in relation to spiritual life and spiritual message. And it's so, you know, I'm just going to say, you know, that based on what's in the purport, and of course I don't have direct experience, at least not in this lifetime, but what a boon that is. What a boon not to continually be questioning things and wanting to be convinced of things and, you know, doubting. Of course, doubt can be a positive thing also. You know, you can use doubt as a positive thing. But how much more beneficial, at least it appears to me, that you hear the message, you say, wow, that message makes sense to me, and then you park all your doubts, you park all your, doubts basically, you park them all, and you just dive 100% into the practice of the science of bhakti yoga and the practice of devotional service. For me, that just appears like an incredible and wonderful boon, you know, that you don't have to worry about anything else. Whereas us men, we definitely have that tendency, you know, to doubt and to speculate and to, you know, want to be convinced more and all of that kind of thing. And of course, it's very easy for that to slip too far. And then it enters into the doubt can enter into the realm of then not, you know, basically not diving in 100%. You're just tipping your toe in like that. Then it can get even worse. Then you can start challenging and you can start, even doubting, as we've seen in the history of the Hare Krishna movement over 50 years. People start to then think they're more intelligent than Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas and whatever. So, wonderful, wonderful boon that for the women to have. I am envious of you having that boon. But in general, in this section, pardon? Yeah. Well. Yeah, we could discuss that, although that wasn't what I was going to speak about today, but there's very, very good explanations for all of that too. And Prabhupada's, but now that you brought it up, Prabhupada's famous statement when devotees came to him and there was some conversation taking place on that kind of subject like that, and then Prabhupada really emphatically said, like it's so emphatic, he just stops the conversation. It's almost as if Prabhupada sees the direction. He sees almost the enjoyment that the men are having in this conversation. And then he just stops. I think it's on a morning walk, actually, and he physically stops walking and then just emphatically says, but this does not apply to devotee women. Like that. Really an emphatic statement like that. But anyway, in the context of this purport, and in this section of Bhagavatam, this thing about mental speculators not getting the mercy, and just this simple act of devotion, that is how we get the mercy of Krishna and how we advance in Krishna consciousness. So one wonderful verse that I love so much and quote many, many times is when Yudhishthir is kind of bewildered and he's asking different questions of Bhishma Dev, and he's bewildered and he's despondent and all of these things. I don't want to be use too many strong adjectives because it's Yudhishthir Maharaj, but he's despondent, you know, you could almost say depressed, you know, he's really unhappy about the result of the battle of Kurukshetra and so many people have been massacred, family and the whole thing, and he's really struggling to understand basically was it worth it, you know, why did we actually get into all of this? And Bhishma Dev, who is lying on a bed of arrows, is another amazing thing that we can actually somebody was mentioning yesterday to me, you know, the two things about anxiety of death and acceptance of death. Now, of course, once we're born, we die in the material world. So really that acceptance of death should be something that we cultivate right from the very beginning of our devotional life, no matter how young we are. I see somebody there who looks like he's too young to go to the cinema on his own, you know. Very, very young. So has his life right in front of him. But really, you should be, you know, cultivating the acceptance of death, because it's coming, you know. And actually, you could die before any of us. I mean, that's the actual reality. Prabhupada, in one conversation, they're talking about age as it relates to the body. And Prabhupada said, no, you could be older than me, to one of his disciples, even though his disciple is 40, 50 years, whatever, younger than Prabhupada. And he says, no, you could be older than me, because you could die later today and I could live for another 20 years like that. So once we accept death, actually embrace it and accept it in the context of the material body, then we're free of it. We're free of it. Whereas for many people, they can't do that. And I think also devotees, it's not that we automatically can do this. It's something that we have to actually work on. And then we get gripped by the anxiety of death like that. So when we see people like Bhishmadeva, the great devotees like Bhishmadeva, who is lying on a bed of arrows, he's about to expire. And what is he doing? It's similar to Prabhupada. Prabhupada lying on his bed in Vrindavan. And they're holding the microphone to his mouth. And Prabhupada is like, he's leaving his body. You know, it's like the greatest challenge in many respects that all of us face. Prabhupada is leaving his body. And what is he doing? He's continuing translating purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's absolutely following, I was going to say in the footsteps, but maybe following in the lying down pastimes of Bhishmadeva, lying on a bed of arrows. And he says, when Yudhishthira asks him that question and says, what's it all about? Why is this all happening? And he says, Nayasha Kahichid Rajan. He says, nobody knows the plan of the Lord. And even though, and I think it says here in the purport, it says, let me get it quickly. Anyway, it says something about all the philosophers together. Where's the word together? It was there and I've lost it. Amazing, just about 20 lines, and when you go to look for it, you can't find it. Anyway, all together they don't know. So this same verse, Nayasha Kaichidrajan, is nobody knows the plan of the Lord. And even though great sages, philosophers, whatever, have come together and meditated on the Lord's plan for millennia, since time immemorial, they are none the wiser. So for the men in the room, this tendency to speculate, this tendency to question, challenge, etc., doubt, all these things, we can do it, but it's not really going to get us anywhere. But then the simple acceptance of devotional service, we will just, you know, advance in our Krishna consciousness. The men will be like walking up the 10-story building on the stairs, and all the women will be in the lift, you know, flying up like that because of this simple acceptance like that. And we know also from Bhagavad Gita, we know Manushanam Sahasreshu Kaschidyatati Siddhaye, that it's out of many thousands among men, one will endeavor. And out of all those who endeavor, hardly one will perfectly know me, reach me, like that. We also have Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakja Prayachati, that it's only the devotion that Krishna's interested in. It's not actually all the externals like that. Actually, going back to the verse, the Manushanam verse, the out of many thousands among men, the verse before that, Gyanam Te Savi Gyanam, is the verse before that. Actually, do we have a Bhagavad Gita? Could I get it just so that I read that verse, just that I don't? Because the tendency is you change words, you know, and it's not really so good. But anyway, we'll see where I go. But basically speaking, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that Gyanam Te Savi Gyanam, that, thank you very much, Ru, that I am now going to explain to you this knowledge, both numinous, both phenomenal and numinous. And I've got it. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. So Krishna's going to explain all this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. So phenomenal knowledge relates to and is referring to the material world that we live in, and knowledge that we acquire through our senses, through our five senses like that. So in that sense, that kind of knowledge is something that we can almost do independently, because we're getting it through our senses like that. And also, ironically enough, it's knowledge that in general, there may be some exceptions, but in general, it's knowledge that we don't dispute, or the non-devotee doesn't dispute with us. We can reach a lot of agreement on the principle of phenomenal knowledge in this world. But of course, what Krishna is saying is, but also numinous. And what he's meaning by that is numinous, or the noumena behind the phenomena. So the phenomenal world, we can all perceive, it's all there for us. But then what is behind the phenomenal world? And actually, what's behind the phenomenal world is Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we know from Bhagavatam that he glances and starts the whole process in motion. That, just a little bit of an aside, because it's talking about mental speculators, and you can very much put, you know, atheistic scientists in the category of mental speculators like that. That's the point where there's disagreement, the noumena behind the phenomena. But in terms of the phenomenal world, there's almost full agreement on how it operates and how it functions, etc. So just in terms of whenever you meet, mental speculators, atheistic scientists, or whatever they may be, in terms of having impact with them, it generally will make sense to reach some common ground on them first. You will always be in a better... If you just start from the point of trying to tell them about the noumena behind the phenomenal world, and then when they don't accept that, you get into a kind of a confrontation with them, and it's like a standoff, you really won't make progress. But if you can establish some agreement on the basis of the phenomenal world and the connection between our senses and the material elements, as an example, and you build up a rapport with them, then you'll have a much better chance, actually, of introducing the noumena behind the phenomena. Because ultimately, their statement that you get, that God doesn't exist, actually, you know, that's a statement that the atheists will make. You know, there is no such thing as God. God does not exist. But of course, that's actually, you wouldn't say it like this to them, but that's such a silly statement to make for a human being. It's really just such a silly, silly statement, you know. I can ask them, do you know how much is in my bank account? They haven't got a clue how much is in my bank account. If you don't know a simple thing like that, you don't, or you can ask them, you know, what time is the next number 14 bus going to arrive at? And they won't be able to answer you, they haven't got a clue. So they don't know some basic, simple information, yet they'll make a bold statement like God doesn't exist like that. So because it's such a silly statement, it's easy to actually defeat, but not if you get into a confrontation. Much better that you build up some rapport, and then they'll be much more inclined to accept what you have to say on additional subjects like that. So here we have Queen Kunti asking, how then can we women know you perfectly? And Prabhupada's explaining in the purport. And the humble position that's taken by Queen Kunti, it also reminds me of when Devahuti is looking for guidance from her son, Kapila, and she asks the question, Nirvina Nitaram Bhumam, Asad Indriya Tarshanat. She asked this question. And she asked Kapila, she's coming to him saying that, I'm just fed up. I'm fed up being in the abyss of this material world. I'm tired of it. I'm exhausted of it. You know, please can you guide me how to get out of the material world? So again, this kind of humility that is shown. And of course, we know that the quality of humility, without humility, we cannot actually really receive knowledge. We certainly can't imbibe the knowledge and really absorb the knowledge that's given to us like that. So again, this is more for this side of the room, that principle of humility, which of course means that we have to leave our false ego at the door, it's just such a wonderful quality to develop, and again can really help us to accelerate in our devotional life. I think I should probably acknowledge that I'm kind of preaching to myself when I make these points, you know. And as I said at the beginning, you know, there's an element of envy for people who are able to take things on face value and move forward on that basis. All of these points. And I'm going to stop. It's 10 past 8. It's a little short, but I'm going to stop because we have something at 20 past 8. And I just wanted to stop to see if anybody had any questions or comments that they would like to make for the last few minutes of the class.